John chapter 1 and verse number 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Let's read that verse together, shall we? Begin. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the Lamb of God, and we thank you for these moments we have tonight to lift up the Lamb of God and the purpose of his coming. We pray for these many that have been mentioned with physical needs. Father, that you would touch and heal bodies and that you would encourage hearts. And Lord, we ask that you would help our church in these upcoming weeks to be an instrument in your hand, sowing the seed of the gospel, bringing in the harvest. And we pray and ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. 4 weeks from today, we will celebrate what we celebrate every Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we're going to do it in a fashion that we've never endeavored before. And Brother Rule will come in a moment and tell us about some specific and new things that we're doing to get the gospel out. Our theme this year on Easter is redemption. And we're going to be singing and preaching and sharing the redemptive plan of Jesus Christ at this special weekend as never before. And I'm very excited about every service. In fact, the staff said, Pastor, you don't mind preaching five times. I said, well, I love preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just show me where to go and point me in the direction, and I'll look forward to preaching the redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's plan of redemption is the central theme of Scripture. And the message of redemption did not begin with a denomination or with a church. The message of redemption began with a lamb, the Lamb of God. Our church cannot offer sacrifice for sin, but we are commissioned to tell the world about God's sacrifice for sin. And his sacrifice is the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was very clear. He was not the Lamb. He was not the Savior. In fact, on one occasion, John the Baptist simply said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. God has called us in this area known as the Antelope Valley to simply be a voice crying out in the wilderness that the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, taketh away the sin of the world. Tonight I want to speak to you about God's way of soul winning. I want us to learn tonight from our Lord how soul winning really is supposed to happen, and how we as a church collectively through soul winning can let our community know about Jesus, the Lamb of God. I want you to notice in our text tonight the message of a soul winner. The Bible tells us the message of a soul winner. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, the Bible says, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And here we see the soul winner's message. We notice, first of all, his identity, the identity of the Lord Jesus. He is referred to as the Lamb of God. Why did Jesus refer, or did John refer to Jesus as the Lamb of God? Well, we know that, first of all, this is a reference to the Old Testament passages where a perfect lamb was slain, where the blood was shed upon the mercy seat on the Day of Atonement. We know that every sacrifice of the Old Testament at the brazen altar and there at the mercy seat was a picture or a type of a sacrifice to come, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was a prophetic lamb, and he was the provided lamb, and he is the preeminent lamb, the final sacrifice for our sin. For the Bible says, without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sin. Revelation 5 and verse 12, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And so we see his identity. He is called the Lamb of God. But I want you to see also his intention. What was the intention of Jesus Christ in coming to this world? Was it simply to teach? Was it perhaps to bring world peace? Was it something in the sense of a political intention? No, not at all. The Bible says in verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Would you say that with me tonight? Which taketh away the sin of the world. I believe that when Jesus Christ died on Calvary's tree, that the blood he shed is able to cover the sin of the entire world. For the Bible says, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. His identity is clearly seen. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. His intention is that all the world might have the opportunity to be saved. 1 John 3:5, "And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." He was the Lamb without spot and without blemish. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He is the perfectly sinless Son of God who gave himself so that the world might have a covering for their sin. The message of the soul winner has not changed since the days of John the Baptist. Our message, as the voice of one crying in the wilderness, is to point men and women to Jesus Christ and to say to them, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And I might say tonight, it is a privilege to be God's messenger boy. It is a privilege to share that message that Jesus is the Lamb of God. And so we see the message of a soul winner. But I want you to notice secondly tonight, the method of the soul winner. The method of the soul winner. What a wonderful passage here in John chapter 1. We see the beginning of the early New Testament church. And I want you to notice, please, if you would, the Bible as it tells us in verse 35. "And he looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. After Jesus was baptized and then experienced his time of temptation in the wilderness for 40 days, the Bible tells us that he returns to Galilee. And we see here the method of soul winners in the early moments of the church. Notice the method here in verse 41 of Andrew. The Bible tells us he first findeth his own brother Simon. The method of a soul winner, very simply stated, is to find someone who is lost. In just a moment, Brother Rule will come and share with us various opportunities and various ways that we might reach out to people through door-to-door soul winning and through social media and through various means of invitation, inviting people and finding people. The word findeth here in verse 41 means to find something that was sought, to meet with. And Andrew found his brother Peter. Andrew was a man like all of us should admire, always bringing someone to Jesus Christ, always wanting to introduce someone else to Jesus Christ. Luke 14:23, "And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be full." Now, we're going to have more services this Easter than in any service in the history of this 30-year history of this church. We're going to be having services on Friday and Saturday and three on Sunday morning. And our desire is the heart of Jesus Christ, who said, "Go out into the highways and hedges and compel men to come in, that my house may be full." Oh, today may we get that vision in our mind. You say, "Pastor, is it just so we can say the house was full? Is it just so we can say we had a big attendance?" Not at all, my friend. It's so that we can point men and women to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. It's not about merely attracting a crowd so that we can say, "Look at this crowd. Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus have a crowd. The Mormon cult has a crowd." We're not interested merely in finding a crowd. We're interested in pointing men and women to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see in this example of an early soul winner, this man by the name of Andrew, who found Peter. But not only does God want us to find lost people, but he wants us to speak to lost people. And I want you to notice in verse 41, it says, "He findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him." We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Now, oftentimes we find people that feel like they don't know what to say or they can't be a soul winner. I want to encourage you, if all you tell someone is your testimony, if all you tell them is how you got saved, if all you tell them is that your sins are forgiven and you're glad you're on your way to heaven, and you just invite them to come and hear what happened to you, and if you say, look it, I just want you to come and celebrate the resurrection with me, you find somebody and then you speak to them as best you can from the Word of God. You may not feel like you can win souls, and certainly you cannot. Only the Holy Spirit can win the soul, but you can be a witness for Jesus Christ, and you can tell somebody what God has done for you. I don't want to hear excuses these next 4 weeks. I don't want to give excuses. I want to look for opportunity to be like Andrew and tell people about Jesus Christ. You see, Moses was a murderer, a man that had speech problems. And John the Baptist ate locusts and honey and was a recluse. And Timothy had ulcers. And Peter denied Jesus Christ. And many others had difficulties. And I would ask you tonight, what's your problem? Because if you have a problem with witnessing, I've got to tell you, God can use anybody who make themselves available. If we'll just look for someone that's lost and then speak to them about the Lord Jesus Christ and encourage them to come and hear. For the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. You say, but somebody might not want to hear it, and it might be embarrassing, and they might make fun of me where I work. And Paul said to Timothy, don't be afraid of partaking in the afflictions of the gospel. Generations before us have paid a great price so that we might know the Lord Jesus Christ, and we must pay the price in our hour as well. And so we see the message of a soul winner. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And the method of the soul winner, so simple. Find someone that is lost and tell them you have found the Messiah, that you want them to know Jesus Christ as Savior as well. But then I want you to get a hold of this little principle tonight: the multiplication of the soul winning process. Now let's come down, if you would please, to verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. By the way, isn't it something how Jesus will change your whole life's process and purpose when you meet him? And he said, Peter, you're going to be the stone. You're going to be the little stone. By the way, Jesus is the rock. Peter's the little stone, right? Some people say that Jesus founded the church upon Peter. No, Jesus said, upon this rock, speaking of himself, I will build my church. He said, thou art Peter, the stone, but upon this rock, I will build my church. But notice, if you would, in verse 43 then, the Bible says this: the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. Now, how do we intend to reach our community for Christ? And how does Jesus intend for us to evangelize this world? How does that happen? Well, I want you to notice, first of all, it happens when we are faithful to God. It happens when we are faithful to God. Look at our ultimate supreme example in ministry in verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip. Jesus here models for us what soul winning is. He goes into Galilee and he findeth Philip. And I've been meditating on that this week. He findeth Philip. You ever think of this? God used Andrew to find Peter, but Jesus himself went to Philip. On one occasion, the Bible says that he must needs go through Samaria. It was there that he would meet the woman at the well, a woman that no one else would talk to. And here we see, according to his sovereign plan, that it would not be another soul winner. It would be the soul winner, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that he was our faithful example. He sought out 12 men who would become fishers of men. And those 12 men changed the known history of the world. Acts 17 and verse 6, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren under the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. These were the men who literally changed world history with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so how do we multiply the soul winning effort and the revival that needs to come to our nation? We must first be faithful ourselves. Let me encourage some of you who've been faithful witnesses over the years. Galatians 6 and verse 9. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There's somebody you've invited to church where you work and they haven't come yet, and you've perhaps been a little bit discouraged. Can I tell you, this is the time of year to invite them to come. This is the time of year to be like Jesus, who found Philip and who went to Philip and who personally invited Philip to follow and to be a believer. And so we must be faithful. And then may I say also, we must be fervent in this matter. We must pray that God would bring a fervency to our heart. Notice, if you would, in verse 45, Philip findeth then Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. I said to you in the early moments of this message, we're going to see tonight the beginning of the early church of Jesus Christ. And we see that there was one Andrew who found Peter, and there was the Lord Jesus finding Philip. And now we see that Philip is finding Nathanael. May I say to you, it's not a program, and it's not advertisement, and it's not even the musical that's going to build the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is one by one, each of us sharing the message of Messiah, sharing the message of the Lamb of God, each of us finding somebody and telling them that Jesus Christ shed his blood for the sins of the entire world. And when Philip came to Nathanael, he said, we have found him. Oh, he could not contain the excitement. And some of us need to get excited about Jesus once again and thankful that he saved us, and find someone else and let them know. For the Bible says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And we need to claim that power and go not in our flesh, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need to find somebody these next few weeks and say, hey, listen, I found something. It's so good. I want to tell you about it. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He died. Yes, he did. But he rose up again on the third day. And I want to invite you to come and share in the celebration of what God has done. This is how it works. The multiplication, one telling another, and that one telling another. And mathematicians tell us that if the church today would simply, each of us, if everyone claiming to be a Christian would simply tell another, who would tell another, who would tell another, that the entire world could be evangelized in about 3 years' time if the church would just do what Jesus told us to do. The multiplication process is still possible. This has been a difficult and yet a beautiful weekend in many ways for our family. Difficult always to say goodbye to someone you love. But a beautiful thought and the beautiful knowledge that Jesus has prepared a place called heaven. And I've been thinking back to my childhood and back to the church where Terry and I both grew up. She was a bus kid and a few years older than I was, and in different classes and different friends and circles. And I was the preacher's kid and a larger church, a few thousand every Sunday. Frankly, we never really met when we were in the same church together. But we both knew a man named Larry. He was called a bus captain. Thank God for bus captains. Larry was an executive at IBM. Larry had been saved at the church that we both attended, the United Baptist Church in San Jose, California. Though Larry was an executive at IBM, there was a time when a plea was made for bus captains and bus workers, and Larry raised his hand. He said, I don't know exactly what that's all about, but I want people to come and know Jesus Christ as Savior, and if the bus ministry helps people come, then I'll get involved telling them. And sure enough, they gave Larry a clipboard with some addresses and a map. And they sent him out into a section of San Jose, and he began knocking on doors and inviting boys and girls to come to church. And you know the story. He came by the Bianco home a few times, and little Terry and Gary were not able to attend. But on the third time he came by, he said, tomorrow's ice cream Sunday. And that was just enough incentive for my wife to beg her parents to let her attend church that next day. She's always had a soft spot for ice cream. She went to church and they had the class, and then she thought to go back to the bus, and she sat on the bus. She was the only one there. She didn't know they had something after the class called church. And so an usher came and said, "You need to go into the church." And she was a seventh grade girl, never been to church before, and she sat on the back row and didn't know anything about church, and she was scared to death. She heard the message about going to heaven, but she said, "I was too scared to walk down the aisle." But thank God, that next Tuesday night, a soul winner came to her house. Apparently, the church had a record made of a little card, and they made a little visitation card, and someone went out to that home, and my father-in-law, who was an alcoholic at the time, was not there. No one was there except my wife, Terry, and just a seventh grade girl. They opened the Bible and showed her how she could accept Jesus Christ as Savior, and she was gloriously saved in her home. She went back a few more times, and they had the address now in the database for the church, and a good church always wants to see the parents of the bus children saved, and sure enough, on a visitation night, the soul-winning director just gave out some calls, and one of the people there for visitation on that Tuesday night was a lady named Maxine Chappell, my mother. Maxine Chappell got a call to go visit the parents of Terry Bianco, and she went out to the home, and now she sat down with Shirley, and she said, "Shirley, we're so glad that Terry came to church. We're so glad that she's heard about Jesus, but Shirley, we want to make sure that you know you're on your way to heaven." Shirley's husband was an alcoholic. She was a hard worker, a good woman, but she didn't know if she would go to heaven. My mother opened the Bible on that soul-winning night and showed Shirley how she could know for sure that when she died, which was this past Monday evening, that she could spend eternity in heaven. I'm so thankful that she accepted Christ as her Savior that night. Oh, Como Bianco, my father-in-law, I've told you stories about him. He was not happy. He said, "Gary and Terry can ride the bus, but surely you're not going to go to that church. I don't want to have Baptists all over this house." I was a Catholic altar boy, he said. Over the years, though, he began to watch his daughter, Terry, and at first, he wouldn't let her go to Bible college. He made her go to San Jose State. And then 2 years into it, she was so sweet and submissive, he finally said, "If you want to go to the Bible college, you can go." And thank the Lord she did. That's where we finally met and began dating and were later married. He watched Terry for many years. The day came when he was having an open heart surgery, Kaiser Hospital, San Francisco. Terry said, "Honey, we need to go visit my dad." We went up, and after some time, I began to open the Bible and said, "Now, Dad, this is a serious surgery. I know your background. We've talked about it many times. We went through Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 6:23, 1 John 5. We went through Ephesians 2:8 and 9. I said, "Dad, if you don't make it through this surgery, where will you spend eternity?" He said, "I don't know." I said, "The Bible says you can know." And after a little while, he prayed and accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Our very first Easter service here, we were so excited in that old auditorium. Frankly, it was kind of a stinky auditorium and rotten carpet, but we brought in those lilies and they smelled so good. And Como and Shirley came down the aisle for baptism on our very first Easter in Lancaster. What a precious time. What a precious time. Had the privilege to lead several of the family members to the Lord over the years. Yesterday at the funerals, I gave the invitation. I said, "If you're not sure, you're on your way to heaven, but you'd like to receive Christ, pray this prayer." And Shirley watched it from heaven while two of her grandchildren raised their hands to get saved in the funeral just yesterday. One of them at our home yesterday afternoon, I was talking to her. She works over here at Lockheed. She wants to get married. I said, "Let me help you with that. Let us help you with some counseling now and getting baptized, getting into the church." Sometimes we overcomplicate the way God designed the Christian life and soul winning. God says, "Listen, I just need some Andrews to go tell some Peters, and I'll go tell Philip, and maybe someone else can over here tell Nathaniel. And if you'll just stay faithful, saying, 'Hey, behold the Lamb of God,' and if you'll just stay faithful, saying, 'I found the Messiah,' if you'll just find somebody and tell somebody." And I didn't know, and my mom didn't know, that when she led Shirley to Christ, she was leading the mother of her future daughter-in-law to the Lord. She didn't know that in that home was going to be one of the great pastor's wives, United States of America. America coming up through that family, and no idea was that all happening, but God knew what was going on. And listen, we don't know who might be saved here in this church in the next few weeks, and we don't know what God might do in bringing some people together and some grandmas and grandpas getting saved and some grandchildren getting saved. We just don't know what God wants to do, but if we'll be faithful and if we'll be fervent to the calling of God, more stories are going to be written. More great things are going to happen if we'll just be like John the Baptist. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. If we'll just be like Andrew, come and see the Messiah. If we'll just be like Philip and Nathaniel, and if we'll just be the church, God will do the rest. He will touch the hearts. I pray tonight that as Brother Rule comes, that you'll open your heart and say, Lord, help me to be a Philip, an Andrew, a Peter, a John the Baptist. Help me not to get it overly complicated in my mind. Help me just to find somebody and tell them. Tell them what you've done and invite them to come. That first church with their pastor, the Lord Jesus, they gathered on the shores of Galilee and they were instructed for 3.5 years and they changed the world for the glory of God. Oh, friend, God has great things in store for the Lancaster Baptist Church. The stories are still being written for His honor and for His glory. And may God use us to fulfill His plan for this place.